you get blessing when you need it. Lord, thank you. And all of these thank yous are backed up with promise on top of promise, on top of promise, on top of promise, on top of promise. That's why I'm saying thank you, because I done been in that word, and I done found out what's in the will. And I know that that's the will of God, so I said thank you. And old devil will come along right in the middle of your party. Well, where is that? You're thanking him for it, but where is that? I don't see it. Where you feel? And that's when you got to say, I ain't moved by what I see. I ain't moved by what I feel. And you messing up my praise. Get out the way. Thank you. Hey, hold my mute. I feel it coming on. Hold up, devil. Hold this mule right here. I'm finna rejoice. God finna make me a table right here in the presence of my enemies. I'm fixing to rejoice right in the midst of all you devils. Thank you. Can you say thank you? Well, you don't say thank you unless there's been an exchange of something. Thank you is the acknowledgement of something you have received. And I ain't got to feel it to know I got it. I ain't got to see it, because if God said it was mine, then it's mine. And I'm just going to keep on giving glory, because when I started giving glory, it started heading toward me. I started calling that thing. Uncle Wright used to call them pigs. I grew up in the country. You know something about that, Brother Robert. Out there on the bayou. I had Uncle Wright. He owned some hogs that lived by the bayside. And they'd go around the bayou. And in the evening time, Uncle Wright used to feed them. I just figured out what he was saying. We was all trying to figure out what he was saying. Because he would stand out in the road. And he'd say, hurrup, pig, pig. Hurrup, pig, pig. So what are you saying? Hurrup, hurrup, pig, pig. And we'd be around the by sometime, and you could hear him. You know, in the country, you can hear a long way. And you see them pigs, they eating. They eating on the ground. Then when he said, hurrup, they go. Their ears go. The second call, they single file. There they go, single file, lined up. They say, he calling us. Now, if you were standing next to Uncle Wright, you would think, well, they know where the pigs at. And he full of confidence. He said, just wait a few minutes. They on the way, baby. They coming, baby. Didn't you hear me call them? When I call, they start coming. They just way around the by right now. Gonna take them a few minutes to get here. Then you look down in and here they come. I found out what, you know what he was saying? Here, pig, pig. Here. He's saying, he called them here, pig, pig. When you say thank you, you're saying here. But it ain't pig, pig. It's Lord, Lord. Amen. God wants you to have strong faith. And you got to get to a place you're fully persuaded. Now, fully persuaded happens as you're giving glory to God, but it also happens as you're meditating in the Word.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Looking at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44.
Verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. Verse 43. And he called unto his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in, than all they which have cast into the treasury. Verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Gracious God, our Father, bless this word today. Bless your people today. Cause us, Lord God, to see the principles and then practice them for profit. Lord, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, Amen. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, It's Not Much. But it's my best. It's not much, but it is my best. That's what it seemed to be in the case of this widow woman. Without uttering a word, her actions spoke louder than words. Jesus, knowing all things, knew her situation without her ever having to explain it. He saw her heart and he saw her hand, and he measured between the two and came out with this revelation that she, with those two mites, gave more than they all, because of how she gave. Now, this message this morning is not really about money as much as it is about principles. And if you are to understand why the giving experience is so important, one of the first things that I want you to know is that God is watching your giving. The verse 41 says, he sat over against the treasure and watched, observed, looked. And he sat over against, suggesting that he was positioned where he was able to see in the Eastern culture. They didn't have offering receptacles like they had. They had big treasure chests. And they opened up the big treasure chest, and as people came around, they cast the money into the big treasure chest. They closed the top down and then remove it from the presence of the people when the offering experience was over. But Jesus sat over against the wall. He was in a place where he could see every giver's giving. Every giver's giving. And the first thing that that would say to me is, the Lord knows what I give. But when I think about the Lord knows what I give, it ought to also make me understand that the Lord also know what he gave me. And if the Lord knew what he gave me and he saw what I gave him, he would base his decision on whether it was a good gift by what he gave me and I gave him from my heart. One of the things that I think the people of God miss in the giving experience is they've got this mentality that people, the preacher, the church, just want their money. It ain't your money. You may have worked hard for it. God gave you the strength to work hard, gave you the education, the intellect, the trade, the ability to do it. But you've got to recognize that God simply made you a manager of the money. He owns the money. The Bible says the silver and the gold belong to God. And so the truth of the matter is, we must recognize that we are simply managers, stewards over whatever God brings into our control. It's a whole lot easier to give God back what belongs to him rather than you thinking you're giving something that belongs to you. Got to get your mindset straight. This belongs to the Lord. He simply made me a manager over it, and he's going to see how well I manage it. So the first thing I want you to note, if you're taking notes, is that this giving experience was worth mentioning, jot it down, mentioning. The Lord Jesus is mentioning. What's important is the fact that he is mentioning, not she, not some other observer, but the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioning this. And he's mentioning this because he wants to bring some principles out. He calls his disciples' attention to this. Now, first of all, he's looking at it in a totally different perspective from those who are of the flesh and of the carnal mindset. He's looking at the heart and the hand, and they are looking at it from the head and the hand. And see, the difference is God knows what is most important as relates to how we feel about something, what our convictions are about something, what we desire truly. And so many of us treat money like money is almost our God. And unfortunately, money has risen to such a priority in the people of God's life that money becomes an issue with the people of God and their giving, listen, to God. They don't have that problem anywhere else like they have with God. I mean, they see anything they want, they'll work two jobs to get what they want. They'll save, they'll stack, they'll store. They'll learn how to compromise. They'll learn how to cut back because they want something. But when it comes to honoring God, it's a difficult position. Now listen to this. He mentions the fact to the disciple because he wants to draw their attention to what this widow woman, not some woman of great estate, but this poor, lowly widow woman, no husband, no son, nobody to provide for her. She and she only makes the provisions for herself, obviously working in other folks' homes or doing whatever she could do to try and make her living, as it were, so that she could survive. There is no pension plan. There is no welfare. There isn't anything set up like we have today that she can count on and depend on after her husband has died. It's nothing but the grace of God that has taken care of her. First thing, again, Jesus mentions this because he wants us to see he's not just talking about the poor, he's talking about the rich. Because the second thing I want you to see is he not only mentions this about the given experience, he measures the given experience. He says, the rich folk have come and simply cast in of their abundance. In other words, the rich folk go in their pocket, and whether it's $5, $20, $100, or whatever the case is, they cast that in and have no second thought of it, because it's not going to change their lifestyle. They cast in whatever they cast in, and it's not going to affect how they're going to eat, how they're going to live, how they're going to get by or get through next week, because what they gave was of their abundance. But when he measures this against the widow woman's gift, he recognizes that though her gift is the smallest of all givers, 2 pence that make up 1 farthing. Here, what this woman gave was the smallest denomination of money at that time, and she gave all of it, not some of it. She had 2. She could have given him 1 and kept 1. But Jesus saw her heart, and her heart's desire was to bless him with her best. And her best in this case was her all. You see, one of the things that you've got to determine that is your best is knowing what you have, knowing what you can do with what you can do with it, and then deciding who's going to get my best. Yeah. And this woman obviously decided the Lord is going to get my best. Yeah. Now, her best in her mind was her all. So when she gives her all, Jesus looks at this and he measures this again by what he has given her and by what she's giving back to him, and now what she has to live on. Now, when you look at the next thing Jesus measures is her means. In other words, her resources. She gave all she had, but she also didn't have anything left to live on. Now, when you look at this, it raises up another reality that really makes the giving experience special. I told you this was not about money. So, well, preacher, what is it about? I told you it was about principles. Now let me begin to unfold it and show you. Excuse me. What Jesus saw in this woman's giving experience was her faith. Yeah. I've said before, it doesn't take money to tithe, it takes faith.
That's right.
Faith to believe God, faith to trust God, faith to honor God.
Yeah.
And when you honor God and give what God has said to give, what belongs to Him, and in your offering, you show your gratitude to God. You say, God, with whatever is left, I trust you to be able to take care of me as only you can do. When you trust the money to take care of you, how many of you know it falls short? You have more month than you have money. You have more week than you have money. Sometimes you have more days than you have money. But when you have God, you have more God than you have need. And when God is on your side and He has so much to work with, when you honor God and release to God's care first what belongs to Him, and then you offer Him your best, if there is nothing less, guess who you can turn to? Matter of fact, while you are now at the place of saying, Lord, I surrender all, God says, now you're in the position for me to really bless you now. God, listen, knows how to cause people to sow into your life that you've never asked to give you a penny. God knows how to open up doors and make ways for you that you never would have seen, never would have found, never would have experienced had it not been for you showing God you trust Him on that level. Listen, God wants us to trust Him by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not get by faith. Live. That means you don't worry about what tomorrow's gonna hold.
No.
You don't worry about how you're gonna do this and do that and do the other. Listen, when it comes to trusting God, you've got to put Him first and foremost. So the next thing I want you to know as we walk back through this word is the fact that her faith was activated. Her faith was activated. Now let me say this to you, my brothers and sisters. I don't care how much you desire to bless the Lord and say, oh Lord, you know, I wish I had this and I had this. I would really bless your name. You know the only thing the Lord is looking at? What you do have. And what you do with what you do have. That's the only thing He's looking at. You can sit there and wish all day and talk all that and talk that. And Lord, if I had this, you know, Lord, and you know, and I love to hear us when we say that because it does sound good. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I'd praise your name with praise Him with the one you got.
Amen.
See, because that's what God is looking at. That's what God is listening to. Why would you praise me with 10,000 tongues when I can barely get you to praise me with one tongue? So when we begin to recognize God wants us to use what we have, use what we have to show our love, to show our desire, to show our heart. This is what the woman did. She activated her faith. If you don't think it took faith to give her all, then you don't know nothing about faith. Listen, this woman, and if you don't think it takes faith to give on that level, wherever you are, try giving your all and see what it takes faith. It's going to take faith. I don't care if you ain't got but $10 left and you got to make it through the rest of this week. And you say, now, Lord, I got $10. And, you know, I got to eat this week. I need gas for my car this week. I got this, I got that.
or I can give it to you and trust you to help me make it through this week. Now, if you don't think it's going to take faith for you to release that little $10, I wish I had a helper. Try it. Here's what the Bible says. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. You see, when you learn how to give God wherever you are, then it won't be no big problem when you reach higher levels to give to the Lord. You've got to start where you are. If there's a neighbor next to you, just turn them and say, neighbor, start where you are. Yeah. Now turn and tell the other neighbor, start where you are if there is one. Ain't no neighbor sitting to you, say, self, start where you are. Because this, listen, this takes faith. Because some of you have been coming to church for years and you have not yet reached the level of the tithe. It's not because you don't have no money. It's because your faith is not activated to trust God. And God knows it. He's given you Romans 12:3, the measure of faith. You've got it. You got a job. You got income. You got the money. You got it. What don't you have? Activated faith. Activated faith. You do not have activated faith. It's there, but it's not activated. How many of you know that all you've got to do is activate your faith? I remember back in the day I used to have an S-curl. How many of y'all remember what that was? Some of the women used to have Jerry curls and all that. I had an S-curl. I already had good hair. I had good hair. That was not the issue there. But I just wanted to just, you know, get that sheen and that shine. And, you know, I didn't want to dye it and fry it and lay it to the side. I just wanted some S curls in it like that. So I had it. And I'll never forget, my young cousin from Chicago came down. That morning, I had gotten up and we had exchanged pleasantries and everything, and we're getting ready for breakfast. And so I was in my room in the mirror, and I was rubbing my hand through my hair, and I said, man, you got some nice little waves in your hair. And he said, yeah. He said, my hair. He said, it's better than yours, Cousin John. I said, not really. I said, you got waves that y'all done brushed out and put stuff in it. I said, I ain't got nothing in my hair. I said, all I need to do is put a little something in it and mine a curl on up. He said, nah. And I reached in and got that bottle of Activator. And went to combing that hair out, and he saw all those curls in my hair, and his eyes bucked like it was like magic right before him. But all I'm trying to tell you was, listen, that S activator had to get in my hair because the chemicals were already there in it, and all the basic work had been done, and all I had to do anytime I wanted it to look fresh was put me a little activator in it. Yeah. I'm trying to tell some of you, or you already got in you already the faith to do the right thing. You just need a little activator in your faith to make you do what you need to do. You can't do it on your own. That means you need an inspiration of that. And can I tell you who the activator is? It is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is your activator. And so this woman's faith was active. But not only was it active, listen, I want you to see something right. She had the right attitude. Now you find all this in these four verses. She had the right attitude. Why did I know she had the right attitude. Because let me say to you, most times when you come to church, you've already got your mind made up what you're going to give to God. You've already got your little money in your certain place, or you've already got it in your